I'm Julia.
And I'm Kelly.
And this is What You Should Read,
the podcast where we should all over our books.
Oh, Kelly, it's so weird to hear you say that and not Rachel.
I agree. I did not like it at all.
No, but not the natural order of things.
It's just, it's not what we wanted to do.
No. So you might be able to tell we are down one host for this episode. Rachel, we miss you so much. She wasn't feeling well today, so we are carrying on valiantly without her, and we hope that we can hold down the fort, so to speak. But we miss you, Rach. Hope you get well soon.
Absolutely. We will do our best. Please adjust your expectations accordingly, and feel free to send us get well notes for Rachel.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, we are so excited for today's episode. Kelly, before we jump right in, do you want to give our listeners just a little kind of intro or overview of what the episode is today?
Absolutely. We decided that we wanted to discuss Black authors and Black fiction. We know that there are a lot of anti-racism lists, and they're very good and they're very important. You should find those, you should read them, you should share them, read them again, do the work. But we also thought that it was important to discuss the books that maybe aren't getting talked about as much, the ones that just show Black people living everyday normal lives, not necessarily encountering racism or police violence or anything like that, just good, happy, fun stories. Like, for example, You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson, the best book ever. It will come up again.
Okay, I have a feeling you're going to be wedging that into today's podcast.
Every podcast. Often. Everyone.
Yeah, Kelly has been texting me all week about this book, so I'm really excited to read it. It just came out, right?
Yes. It's just a couple weeks old. Hopefully everyone's already read it, but if not, don't worry. I will not stop until you have.
Maybe we could do
a whole episode. I probably won't stop then.
No, but maybe we could do a whole episode on it at some point. Because I think the important thing to know, too, is we want to talk about these books because we really feel like it's important that everyone just diversify their reading and don't read books that are by authors. Don't only read books that are authors who look just like you or have the same life experience as you.
Right.
I was looking through my reading list for the past few years, and you know, I thought I was doing okay in terms of reading a diverse range of authors, but I definitely have so much more work that I could do, and I could do such a better job of, I guess, decolonizing my reading list. So right. I think it's just, yeah, it's important to support books by Black authors, and we're going to talk about some of the books that we really love, have really loved reading, and we want to recommend them to our listeners. But we also plan to do more episodes specifically to promote Black authors and books by Black authors. So I'm excited to do this.
I'm sure that you've heard the idea that the primary purpose of reading is to either provide a window where you see lives and experiences that aren't like yours, or also a mirror, which is to see your own life and experience reflected back. And I've seen a lot of mirrors, I've read a lot of mirrors, but like you said, I'm trying to do a lot more windows as well.
I think I heard Angie Thomas talk about the window and mirror theory in an interview. Angie Thomas, if you don't know, is the author of the books The Hate U Give and On the Come Up, which if you haven't read those, you should stop listening to this immediately and go read those books. They're amazing.
Absolutely.
But she definitely talks about how her books are, she thinks about who's reading her books, and for young Black kids, it really is a mirror for them when they don't have a lot of those. And that's really important to her. And then for white people like us reading her books, it is a window, right? It is a window for us to see experiences that are different from ours, which, like you said, is so important. And I've also heard this said a lot, that reading fiction creates empathy.
Right.
So that's just another reason why it's so important to read all different kinds of books.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure I understand.
That was Siri. Did you hear that?
Yes. I don't understand either, Siri, but we're all doing our best.
Sorry about that, Siri. We're going to try to understand. That's the point of this podcast.
We don't always need another co-host, Siri. You're not part of this.
You're no Rachel, Siri.
Sorry, Rachel, we outsourced you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Kelly, what are you reading currently? What's on your Kindle or on your bookshelf right now?
I literally just started 5 Days by Wes Moore and Erica Green, and it is an account of the 5 days after Freddie Gray's funeral, which for people who don't know, and I know Julia does, because we both live in Baltimore, but Freddie Gray died of injuries sustained while in police custody. And after his funeral, there was a period of unrest in the city. And this is one of the few times where all the officers involved were charged, which is good. None of them faced, like, they were all acquitted, which is the justice system, we'll say that. And I'm really excited to read the book. I'm still in basically the very first part where Wes Moore is sitting in a Baltimore church at the funeral. So I think it'll be a very hard read, but a very good one and a very important one.
Yeah. I think those of us that were living in Baltimore at the time and still live in Baltimore definitely still remember where we were when things started really happening there. So
yeah.
That is a really important book, and I definitely want to read that. So I am reading right now a book called The Weight of the Stars by Kay Ankrum.
Ooh.
Yes.
You told me about this, right?
Oh, yes. I'm loving it so far. I'm about 20% of the way through. I think I'm reading it on an e-reader. So The Weight of the Stars by Kay Ankrum. It's a book about space, but it's not set in space. So I would say it's a YA novel, and it's about these two girls in high school. One is named Ryan, and she's a girl who lives with her brother. They don't seem to have parents around. They are poor, and she's just trying to kind of get through the day. And then all of a sudden, this new girl, Alexandria, shows up, and she's kind of standoffish, and right away she and Ryan butt heads. And then the teacher pulls Ryan aside and says, I need you to kind of look out for the new kid. And Ryan's like, oh, really? But it turns out that the new kid is the daughter of a woman who was part of the space program. And what it was they sent 50 people into space, I think 50 people, and or maybe it was for 50 years, a number of people who aren't necessarily astronauts, but just artists and poets and people doing other things, and sent them into space on this mission to have them sort of send back or create things about their experience and send it back. So it was a scandal when her mother left, because her mother had her baby and didn't tell anyone and then took off into space, right? Leaving her child with the dad, right? So, and it was this big story, and Ryan knows about it because she wants to be an astronaut one day. That's her dream. And so she's familiar with it. So the teacher thinks that she'll be a good person to look out for her. Well, anyway, they continue to butt heads, and then Alexandria is in an accident, and then all these things start happening. And I don't know quite where it's going yet, but I feel like there's going to be like some messages from space coming in. I feel like there's going to be a love story at some point. The writing is just really simple and beautiful. And I can't believe I haven't read anything by Kay Ankrum yet, because she seems awesome. She has some other books out that I'm definitely going to read after this. And you should definitely check her out on Twitter as well. I've been following her on Twitter, and she posts a lot of really cool things. So that is The Weight of the Stars by Kay Ankrum.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love books about space. I just love space books. And this one isn't set in space, but I feel like there's going to be more stuff about space. And I've always enjoyed books about space. So,
right. Oh, there's a book called The Gravity of Us by Phil Stamper, I think. And it's about these teenage boys who fall for each other after their dads are selected to go into space. I want to say to Mars, but they're selected to go into space, and they all have to move to the town where, I want to say it's somewhere in Texas, but the town where the space program is. And it's so good and so fun, and it's a gay romance and just absolutely delightful. And there is some space talk as well, obviously, but like you said, it is about space, but not in space.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. And this book too also has, I think it's going to be a love story, and it's a queer love story. I'll have to finish it before I know for sure, but that's where it seems to be maybe going. So,
well,
yeah. So what's next?
Book news. And as you know, I have a couple of pieces again. The first one is about Angie Thomas, who we were just talking about. Her second book, On the Come Up, will also be made into a movie. And then the screenwriter is also Black, Kay Oyegan. There will be a Black director who Angie Thomas did not name in her tweet. And it is overseen by a Black studio executive, Amber Raspberry, who works for Paramount. So that is absolutely fantastic.
That's amazing.
I'm excited for the movie no matter what, because I loved The Hate U Give just so, so much. And I loved the book version of that, and I love the book version of this. So I'm super excited. I just sky high expectations.
That's great.
And then my other piece is my friends Jessica and Rich, their eighth grade son Alex has created his own website, Your Next Favorite Book, which you can check out on yournextfavoritebook.com. And it is a ton of middle grade reviews and some author interviews. We're hoping to get him on the podcast sometime soon to share what middle grade books we should be reading. But meanwhile, I've been checking out his website and learning about all kinds of amazing books, like Night Books by J.A. White. His site is so cool and so fun. Definitely check it out. Yournextfavoritebook.com. Maybe great. Make sure your friends take away your phone so you cannot buy all the books.
I'm so impressed that he's blogging at such a young age and reviewing books. That's great.
Yeah,
same. The initiative.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
So my book news is in regards to bookoutlet.com. Kelly, are you familiar with this website?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, they are basically a discount bookseller. They get overstock from publishers and are able to sell them at a steep discount because of it. And in the past, I've definitely ordered a lot from them. You can usually find really good deals. Unfortunately, so they have a book blogger or book YouTuber friends program, and they've been criticized a lot for not having a lot of diversity. I think they only had one Black booktuber on their roster, and everyone else was white. And they got called out by a booktuber whose channel is Myona Reeves. And basically she said, you know, we've reached out to Book Outlet and they basically just brushed us off. And there was a lot of back and forth with Book Outlet, who then eventually made some comment like, we only partner with booktubers who make family-friendly content, which...
Oh.
Yes. So Naya Reads and Smiles is a Black booktuber who is very popular, and she was she was one of their booktuber friends or vlogger friends. And she immediately terminated her contracts and said, this is not okay. And so... Yes, so she definitely, and she posted a video about it as well, but it just highlighted the absolute obliviousness of these companies, and just, it was such a hurtful thing for them to say and do. And as far as I can tell, they've removed their vlogger friend's page, or at least I can't find it. So I don't,
wow.
I think they posted some sort of apology, but I'm not sure that they've really, you know, done any statement. So I just, I'll be following that. And if you've shopped at Book Outlet before, I suggest you just look into that. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'd think people would know better in 2020. And they don't. They just don't.
It's so disappointing. It's just so disappointing. But anyway, there are other places to buy books, including Black-owned bookstores that you can order online from. So we'll have to link to some of those in the show notes, too. So if you're looking for a place to buy some new books, you have a lot of options. And we highly recommend you check out those.
Absolutely.
Usually, this is around the time where we do our You Know What You Should Read segment. But
you should see me in a crown by Leah Johnson.
We are going to do kind of an extended version of that segment today. We're going to recommend a lot of books to you. And we are so excited. We have a special guest joining us today, comedian Violet Gray. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to bring Violet on the podcast. So stick around. And we are back. And we are so excited to have a special guest with us on the podcast today. She is a comedian from Baltimore. She is super funny on social media, and she works at a library. So she's just basically the perfect guest to have on today. So welcome to the podcast, Violet Gray.
Hello, everyone in podcast land. Very glad to be on What You Should Read.
Well, we're so excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a stand-up comic who was assigned male at birth. That designation didn't quite work out the way everybody thought it would. I am a stand-up comic, and I like to share humorous things on Facebook and Twitter. I'm also a huge geek, and if you follow my Instagram, Chaotic Violet, you'll see me in all my crazy costumes. And on my way back from gigs, I occasionally do a live freestyle rap for people. And I've actually been recognized by people I don't know from that, which is odd. But yeah, geekery, nerdery, that's me.
Is part of that geekery and nerdery books?
As a matter of fact, it is. When I was growing up in an underfunded high school in Northwest Baltimore, part of my escape was going into the school library and finding the works of fantasy author Andre Norton. She was actually my introduction to fantasy literature. And so I would say probably books more than anything has had the most significant impact on my interests and on my tastes.
Yeah. Would you say fantasy would be your favorite genre?
Yes. Fantasy, I think, is my favorite genre. Mostly because it deals in concepts. It deals in a lot of fantasy. A lot of the points made in fantasy is metaphors for the real world. And it helps to, it's one advantage of fantasy is that it allows you to absorb certain concepts in certain ways. Like I would say the whole point of Lord of the Rings, for example, is about how power corrupts. But yes, I would say fantasy is my favorite genre, and I love horror, but strangely enough, a close second to fantasy is probably historical nonfiction.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a favorite historical nonfiction?
Absolutely. It is a book called The Wolf is at the Door. Mm-hmm. And it is about a female spy during World War II named Virginia Hall. She was born in Baltimore, and the Nazis developed a nickname for her. And you know you're being a thorn in the Nazi side when they come up with a nickname for you. Her leg was blown off in a hunting accident, and the Nazis called her the Limping Lady. She was a master of disguise who trained the French resistance in sabotage. And one of the ways that they could tell who she was that her artificial leg, which she named Cuthbert, caused her to walk with a limp. There's a funny story where she was communicating with the secret organization of England. I think it was the OES. And they were asking her how she was doing. And she was like, Cuthbert is giving me trouble. And they wrote back to her, if Cuthbert is giving you trouble, eliminate him.
She's like, no, it's my leg.
Yes, they didn't realize it was her leg.
Oh.
But it's a fantastic, The Wolf is at the Door. It is a,
okay.
Oh, which is a reference to the fact that the head of the SS came looking for her personally.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. And so, but yeah, that would be my favorite book.
We'll have to bring you back on for like a historical nonfiction episode. But I think that's a good segue into our, you know, what you should read segment. So today's episode is, we want to really talk about some of the books that we've loved that are written by Black authors. And Kelly and I were just discussing how we think it's just really important to read a diverse array of books. And I was just wondering if you've thought about, or you work at a library, so you see books come and go. So what do you think about, you know, just like diversifying one's reading and just in general?
Well, I think that it is a lot of diversifying your reading offers a lot of fertile ground for expanding your perspective. With different cultures and different demographics come different perspectives and things you've never heard about. And that can not only be a way to grow your perspective and your outlook on the world, but it is also a source of entertainment, you know, something new. I think that diversifying the way that you absorb media, especially books, offers just so much opportunity for so much to discover. I would say that would be the main advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a good point. You know, if you're only reading books or consuming any media by people who look like you or have the same life experiences as you, you're not only not broadening your perspective, but you also are probably missing out on things that you probably would enjoy. And you're just closing yourself off to something you might really like.
Yeah. One aspect of being a person of color in this country is, in some ways, it's a weird sort of paradox in that the white, cis, straight majority is in many ways the default. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't, until later, even discover some forms of media of their own demographic. Like when I was in high school, I didn't discover any Black fantasy authors until much, much later. And so I think that if you're coming up and you're a minority of some sort, that it is of great value to have that content, to that content for people who look like you or who feel the way you do.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I would just like to point out that I have known Violet for years and I have never had a freestyle rap. So we're actually fighting a little bit right now.
I've had many, so you should definitely feel slighted by that.
I do feel slighted by that.
You're getting me in trouble.
I thought we were friends. I mean, just illusion shattering left and right. This is a horrible day for me now.
I think we might need a freestyle rap right now for Kelly. I don't think that we can succeed.
I can freestyle rap for you, Kelly, whenever you want.
Don't patronize me, okay? I want it to mean something, not just because you feel bad.
Well, maybe when we're discussing the books, you'll get some inspiration and you can surprise us.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I am not joking. I will do that. I never turn down an opportunity. So go ahead.
All right. Well, Violet, we're gonna give you the first opportunity to recommend a book. So basically, with You Know What You Should Read, we just go around and we talk about books that we love and why we love them. So,
okay. I'll be honest. I'm a little bit intimidated saying, you know what you should read to you two. Oh, you mean that book that I read years before you did? Yeah, maybe I should go back and read it again. for the benefit of everyone else who isn't as hardcore.
Hey, we haven't read every book out there. I mean, Kelly.
Yeah, okay.
Kelly, baby.
I mean, between the two of us, I feel like we have.
Right.
Especially when you bring Rachel in too. But I mean, yes. I'm sure one of us will be excited. So.
Yes. So, the book I would recommend is Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. It is a musing on what it's like to grow up to be a Black male in Baltimore, not only what he would say to his own children, but what his father also said to him. And mm-hmm. It particularly resonates with me because Ta-Nehisi Coates is only a year older than me, and he was born and raised in my part of Baltimore. And so every time he makes a reference to a place within the book, like Mondawmin Mall or some such, I knew exactly where he was talking about, and I could his feelings in that aspect really resonated with me. And on top of that, I would say his writing is sort of poetic. Mm-hmm. And he brings to light, and especially with these times, in the times of Black Lives Matter and protests over the death of George Floyd, he really eloquently puts the sort of struggle into terms that are consumable for people who don't have that experience. So yeah. I would highly recommend Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me.
Yeah, I think Kelly and I both have read that as well. And
we read it for book club?
Yeah, we read it for book club, and it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
See, I told you.
No, but that's an amazing first pick. Everyone should definitely go out and read Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I actually do want to read it again.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, I would for sure read that again. And I need to read his collection on the Obama administration, We Were 8 Years in Power. I have that. I have not read it. But I really want to. I love his writing style.
Have you read the article he had? I think it was in The Atlantic, The Case for Reparations.
I haven't.
I've been meaning to read that. I haven't yet.
It's worth a read. It came out years ago, but it's so, so good. Okay, Kelly, you're up.
Okay. Well, if you have talked to me at all over the past week or so, you've heard me talk about this book. If you were paying attention earlier in this very podcast, you have heard me talk about this book. It's called You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson. And it is just seriously the most amazing, joyful, charming delight of a book. It's like, I mean, obviously I can't fully relate, but she's this teenage girl who gets into college. She is Black, and she gets into the college of her dreams. She wants to become a doctor, but she can't. She doesn't have the full scholarship to go without it becoming this huge thing and graduating in debt, which she doesn't want to do. So she decides that she is going to run for prom queen, because if she wins, she'll get a scholarship for it. And the unfortunate thing is, there is also this new girl in school that she has very real feelings for, and they are just the best, most swoon-worthy couple. Like, just all the feelings for the two of them. But she knows that if she is publicly with this girl, she will not win, and she will not get the money. And so it's this big push and pull about how much of yourself can you be true to when you have these very real goals. And she wants to be a doctor because her mom died of a stroke due to sickle cell anemia, which is also a disease that affects her brother. So becoming a doctor to fight this is very much being true to herself, but, you know, she's also denying a real part of herself because of this girl, Mac, who is freaking amazing. And if she had an older sibling who was age appropriate for me and also real, I would be very much into that. But it's just, it feels like an absolute romantic comedy. It's perfect. And I love it so much. And all I've done is talk about how great this book is. And seeing a female love story, like, it's so good. And like what you were saying about representation, Violet, like, I don't really seek out gay fiction that often, not anywhere near as much as I should. And then I read a book like this and I'm like, oh my God, it's me. Even Absolutely. Though obviously I'm old and white, but it still very much felt like it could be my story, and so delightful.
Yeah, I think if you're any kind of minority, that representation has enormous value for you. It helps you. It helps to not feel othered, which is a big part of said struggle.
Yeah, and to find connection in that Absolutely. Book, even if, yeah, that's great. Okay, I'm definitely going to read it, Kelly.
Oh, I know you will. I know you will. I will not stop. I will be a conversational terminator. And you text me that you are reading it, and I will want, like, chapter updates.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, now I'm going to recommend a book, and I was debating which one to start with, but I've narrowed it down. So you know what you should read? You should read Queenie by Candace Carty Williams. Have either of you heard of this book?
Queenie? I don't think so.
Okay. This book, I read
it, but I haven't read it.
You have it, but you haven't read it. Okay, good. Yeah. You should read this, Kelly. So this book it came out a couple of years ago, I think, or maybe a year ago, and it's described, and I think this does sort of hit the mark. It's described as Bridget Jones's Diary meets Americana.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's about a young woman. She's 25, I think. She lives in England, but she's from a Jamaican family. So she's a Jamaican British woman, and she works at a newspaper, and she's just constantly experiencing all these microaggressions at work, but she's also struggling to just find any joy in her job. So she keeps messing up at work, but she's also continuously needing to compare herself to her white coworkers. And then she has this messy breakup with her long-term boyfriend. And so she starts sleeping with all the wrong men and just kind of is spiraling. And she really, it's a lot of the book is her inner dialogue with herself and, you know, constantly, you know, kind of like how in Bridget Jones's Diary had this a lot of self-reflection and trying to better herself. But in this book, it's just so much deeper because of everything that she's talking about in terms of a cultural perspective. And she definitely feels like she's caught between two worlds. You know, she's British, but she's from a Jamaican family and she almost doesn't feel like she fits 100% into either world. So she's struggling with that as well. And then it's just, oh, by the end of the book, I loved Queenie so much and I just wanted the best for her. But then there were times where I was like, no, don't do that. You know, so I just got so invested in her story and in the character. And it's just, it's a great read. And it really, I loved it so much. And it really just, I don't want to say took me by surprise because I saw, oh, a Bridget Jones comparison. Yes, there are those comparisons, but it, in my opinion, knocks Bridget Jones way out of the water and was just a wonderful read. So that's Queenie by Candace Carty Williams.
Did you say okay. Candace Williams?
Candace Carty Williams, Carty-Williams.
Okay, Candace Carty Williams.
Yeah, and we'll put a link to our Goodreads in the show notes too. So all the books we talk about today will be in there.
I know actually that you have it on your shelf because, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Julia and I are in a book club together and it alternates house to house. And whenever I am at Julia's house, I spend an inordinate amount of time looking at her bookcase. And our other book club member, Philip, always makes fun of me for it, but I always saw Queenie on your shelf and I was like, that looks really good. And I know that we had talked about it before, so.
Yeah. Before COVID hit, I actually loaned it to one of my coworkers. So it currently resides, I know, Violet, who lives with me. It currently does not live at our house, but I'll get it back eventually if you want to borrow it.
No worries.
All right, Violet, you're up.
For books you should read?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that the two of you have already read this book once again, but I would highly recommend The Fifth Season to anyone out there. It was so good. It is by N.K. Jemisin. World building is one of her strengths, and she really plays to her strengths. And it is about several characters in a world that is slowly tearing itself apart, geographically speaking. And if you want a good fantasy epic that doesn't follow the medieval white typical archetype of a fantasy kingdom, I would highly recommend The Fifth Season.
Yeah. I think that book has been mentioned several times on the pod. So I feel confident saying we 1,000% co-sign that recommendation. I know Rachel and I have both read it. And Violet, you were actually the one who recommended that book to me originally. And I'm so glad I read it. And I'm definitely going to pick up the sequel very soon.
I just started the sequel and they tell me that... they tell me that the first book, as good as it was just the setup. So,
oh my gosh, there's so much happened in the first book, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's great. Okay, all right, good. Oh, good rec. Okay, Kelly, you're up.
Okay, the next one I have is a book that I actually finished this very afternoon, struggling to get it done before this, and it's called Black Brother by Jewel Parker Rhodes. And it is about these two boys, and one of them, Trey, looks like their white father, and the other one, Dante, looks like their black mother. So they are brothers, but they don't really look alike that much. Obviously, one presents as white, one presents as black. And they just moved because their mom got a new job. So they are going to this kind of elite private school, and pretty much immediately, Trey is accepted and popular, and a popular kid is bullying Dante. And it's basically the most ridiculous thing. Now, this is a spoiler, but Dante gets arrested because somebody in class threw a pencil and hit another student. It was not Dante, and Dante gets sent to the principal's office for it. And then while there, he is completely furious, as he should be, and then he, you know, drops his backpack, like kind of slams it on the floor. But because it's a zero tolerance policy, that's considered a threat. So they call the police, he is arrested. It is complete bullshit. And while he is he's arrested, he is actually literally in jail for a little bit before his parents can get him. And while he is then suspended for the next week, he decides that what he wants to do to get revenge against this kid that's bullying him is he's going to learn defense, because that's the bully Alan. It's Alan's thing. So he's like, I'm going to learn how to do it, and then I'm going to kill this kid. I mean, not literally kill, but I'm going to cream him in fencing. And he learns how to fence, and he's really good at it. And
I love the revenge, like the revenge plot is to learn fencing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I tell you what, as someone who was bullied in high school, I would have jumped at the chance to challenge them to a sword fight.
Yeah. It sounds so, I don't know, romantic in a way.
It kind of does, right? Like, I challenge you to a duel. Yeah. You dick.
Just but a duel with swords.
Right, yeah.
Just imagine he swings into the gym on a chandelier.
And all the other students are like, how'd that get there?
Right. Well, and like the only thing I know about fencing I learned from The Princess Bride. So it was really fun learning all this stuff about the sport. And as revenge schemes go, I'm kind of on board. So it was super fun. Very interesting. And she also wrote Ghost Boys, which is about a young boy shot and killed by police who is a ghost, and he meets the ghost of Emmett Till. And
oh, wow.
That is a lot less fun, but also an amazing book.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's intriguing. Fun fact, all of the names mentioned during the fencing scene between Inigo Montoya and Wesley, the names are actual ancient fencing masters.
Wow.
So you probably were learning real things when you watched that scene.
The fun facts about The Princess Bride are exactly what we need. Such a good movie.
Oh, my favorite.
Okay, you two know what you should read.
What's that?
Kelly, you might have already read this, but it's So Close to Being the Shit Y'all Don't Even Know by Retta.
I have it, but I haven't read it.
Kelly, oh my gosh. Okay, you both would really enjoy this book. Violet, have you read this book?
I have not, but okay. I will brag just a little bit in that she told me my comedy was smart.
And then you fainted from just pure delight?
I was just like, you know, coming from someone like her, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kelly.
I would like to know literally every single detail of this interaction, because I love her. Like, seriously love her.
When I was at the Comedy Factory here in Baltimore, back when it was in the downtown Baltimore area, this was many years ago, I opened for her. She was the headliner.
Wow.
And she was like, I like your comedy. It is very smart. And then she went on stage and this drunk woman tried to heckle and she like shut her down immediately.
Yes.
And then she burst out with the opera voice, which I don't know if you've ever heard her sing with her opera voice. That will get the attention of everyone in a room. So
she is so she's so multi-talented too. She, so for those of you who don't know who are listening, Retta is an actress who was Donna on Parks and Rec and just such a funny show, but she wrote a memoir about her, basically how she came to be who she is and her career in Hollywood. And she talks about how she is just, she's like, look, I'm the next big thing and I'm so close to it. And here are all the things that I've done and that have happened to me and all the experiences I've had. And it's just such a, it's a joy to read because, well, first of all, I listened to it on audiobook, which I highly recommend because she obviously reads it herself. So it's definitely a fun thing to listen to. And she just has all these great stories. The one that really sticks out to me is that she actually had an audition for Dreamgirls. And that's how I know that she is an amazing singer because her, you know, she had that audition lined up for the role that Jennifer Hudson played and then won the Academy Award for. Oh, wow. But Retta decided not to go to the audition because she just kind of let her doubt and self-doubt creep in. And she also has, she's like, I can't wear heels. And she just assumed that they would make her wear heels to in the movie. So she said, well, it's just not even worth trying because they're going to make me wear heels and I can't do that anyway. So she talks about how she's like self-sabotaged herself in ways. And this is one of those times. And then she said, and then it flash forwards to her watching the movie and watching Jennifer Hudson sing her, her big number. And she's like, and what was she wearing? Flats. She was wearing flats.
Oh no.
So she kind of uses that as an example of, you know, you got to go for it. You got to take chances. And she's just, I mean, she's definitely doing great in her career. And I can't wait to see what she does more, but she's in the book. She talks about how her dream is to have her own show. That's just called Retta, right? She says, I'm the next one name wonder. Her idols in comedy, like Lucille Ball and Roseanne, who she watched a lot growing up. And like Violet said, she's a stand-up comedian. So it's just super funny. And I highly recommend it. So that's So Close to Being the Shit Y'all Don't Even Know by Retta.
I love her on Good Girls, too. I don't know if you watch, but it's so fun. And really all I care about is that she doesn't die and Stan doesn't die. Like, I just need those two to stay alive and together. Like, anything else, whatever. But
is that the show where they're doing all these heists?
Yes. They rob a grocery store, partly because her daughter is sick and medicine is obviously super expensive. Everything related to it is super expensive. She needs a new kidney. And unfortunately, the grocery store is also sort of a money laundering front for a local dealer. And he is not pleased that they take his money.
Yeah.
And so he makes them do jobs for him. And it turns out that one of them, Christina Hendricks' character, is shockingly good at being a criminal mastermind. The other two are less good. But, you know, they're up for it. It's a fun thing to do. And the best part, they call their like caper nights, basically, they call it book club. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Perfect cover.
Yes.
Every book club is just a cover for some crime syndicate.
Yes. I mean, that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe you met Retta. I'm so jealous.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognized her from stand up and then they were like, do you want to open for Retta? I was like, yes, yes, I would like to do that.
Yes, please now.
Yeah.
Can I recommend another book?
Yes, please do.
What you guys should read is called Hattiesburg, An American City in Black and White. And it is about the town, the history of the town of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It is a microcosm of, I think it is a microcosm of the history of race relations. Hattiesburg was founded on sawmills. There were a lot of trees of a specific type that lends themselves well to the lumber industry. And so it is a town that was founded there. And it is a look at the economics and how the Black population and how the white population are each affected, and how at one point it talks about how the Black population started moving from this sawmill town to the big cities, your Chicago's, New York's, and things like that, and how much of a threat it was, and how the racist people of Hattiesburg, Mississippi didn't realize how much of their livelihood was supplanted and was bolstered by the Black labor that they were exploiting. And there was this account of a white sawmill owner at the train station literally begging Black people not to leave.
Wow.
And so... And it was talking about how complex the interplay of race and economics played out in the small town of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. There was this one particular part where the American Red Cross shows up to deal with something or other. I think this was probably the aftermath of one of the wars we were forced to fight. And the American Red Cross has had a policy of colorblind service where they didn't, and they got evicted from their base of operations in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, because they served Black people. The town of Hattiesburg insisted that they serve the white population, and they relocated, but Hattiesburg almost made a decision that they would not want the aid from the Red Cross if they were also going to give it to Black people. So it was one of these ways in which a racist way of thinking can be just self-destructive as well as destructive for other people. But yes, Hattiesburg, An American City in Black and White by William Sturkey. It was an engaging read, and I highly recommend it.
That sounds fascinating, and also that story about the Red Cross is so infuriating.
Yeah. It's like we won't even allow you to help us if you're also helping them.
Right. It's just so stupid and just... Wow. Yeah, it definitely sounds like a good book to really understand the history of Jim Crow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's Hattiesburg. Good. Okay, Kelly.
Okay. I'm going to do something a little different and just recommend somebody's entire body of work. Jason Reynolds writes young adult and middle grade. His middle grade, there's one series that centers around a track team, and each book focuses on a different member and, you know, the things they face while they also try to improve as track stars. But his young adult fiction is just, it's all amazing. And I found out about him really by mistake, because for a very, very little while, Simon & Schuster was sent, like they would send me young adult books that I didn't even ask for to review on my blog, which was a wonderful thing. And it started very suddenly and it ended very suddenly. But the best thing that happened was they sent me a copy of The Boy in the Black Suit by Jason Reynolds. And it was his second book. His first is called When I Was the Greatest, but I hadn't heard of him. And when this book came, I was like, huh, that's weird. And it's about a boy who is grieving, and what he does to kind of make himself feel a little bit better is he starts attending random funerals. Which kind of feels like it would do the exact opposite, right? Like if all you do is spend time around people that are hurting, you know, that kind of magnifies yours. But it really helps him because the thing about grief is that it's so isolating and it's so awful. And you feel like you're the only one impacted by it in whatever way you are. And so being around other people that are hurting and sad, it like really helped him. And it's really good. It's all of his books are just deeply good books. And I love when you accidentally find someone who becomes one of your absolute favorites.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it is at the point where I don't even care what his book is about. I will buy it. I will read it as soon as I can. He is just amazing. And he's kind of local. He lives in DC now.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he lived near.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We met him at ALA last year.
Yes.
And he was very nice.
He was.
And then.
Oh, and this is my favorite ALA story. So somebody cuts in front of me in line and she looks familiar and I can't place it. And I feel like I'm probably being very rude because I'm completely staring at her like, where do I know you from? And it turns out that it's like Nikki Giovanni. Like, amazing poet / national treasure, Nikki Giovanni. Jason Reynolds was like, hey, could we get a book for Ms. Giovanni here? And she was kind of like, I mean, is that okay? There's a line. And I'm just like, you can do whatever you want. And I said that out loud because I have no filter whatsoever and I have no chill whatsoever. And she shook my hand and it was the best thing that's ever happened.
I remember that. We were all like, Nikki Giovanni is standing right here. What? Okay. I think I have one more book to recommend. So you know what you should read? You should read Akata Witch by Nnedi Okorafor. And if you're looking for something to read that's not Harry Potter, but will give you Harry Potter vibes or have a story that makes you feel the way Harry Potter made you feel. And I know we're all maybe looking for alternatives to Harry Potter right now. This is a good option because it is about a young girl, her name's Sunny, and she was born in New York, but then her family moves her and her siblings to Nigeria, where her parents are originally from. And she's 12 years old, she's albino, so she's very sensitive to the sun. And she just really wants to kind of get through the day and not be bullied at school. And her parents are very strict with her. So her life is just, you know, she's just kind of frustrated with everything. And then she meets these two friends, Orlu and Chichi, I think are the names. And they recognize that she has special gifts as they do. They are all what is known as leopard people. And the leopard people can cross over into this other world. And then they have these different faces. And basically, they believe that one's what you might consider your greatest weakness is actually your greatest strength. So it's got a really good message about, you know, things that make you different or that you might think of as a defect can actually be your greatest asset. So she's learning all about the leopard people. She has this book that's like interspersed in between the chapters, and so she's learning about how to do magic basically. And she didn't know she had this power, but now she does. So that's kind of the way it reminds me of Harry Potter. But anyway, her and her friends have this mission that they have to track down basically this guy who's been murdering and kidnapping and hurting children. And so they have to go on this quest to find him and stop him. And so it's just it's a YA novel and it's fantasy, and it was just a really great read. I know you both read Children of Blood and Bone. And yes. I think if you liked that book, you'll definitely like this book. She also has a novella that I really liked called Binti. And that one is set in space, Facebooks, which I love. And it's a really quick read. And it's told from the perspective of just one narrator. And she goes up into space. And so I guess I am recommending one author's entire body of work right now, but that's especially Akata Witch by Nnedi Okorafor. And there's a sequel to that book as well.
Oh, good. I've been meaning to read that one. I haven't had a chance to crack that one open yet, but I will read it.
Yeah, I have it on my e-reader. I don't have a physical copy, but we should get
one. Hi, Fergie.
Yeah, my cat has made an appearance again. Okay, does anyone else have any other books they want to recommend? I don't want to keep you too long, Violet. We've been having so much fun talking, but does anyone have a book they just want to shout from the rooftops before we head out?
One last parting shot. If any of you out there are in the habit of reading graphic novels or anything, I would also, keeping in with the body of work theme, I would also recommend Ta-Nehisi Coates' run of Black Panther.
Yes.
It has his trademark sort of poetic style to it. Two of the main women characters are in a relationship with each other that plays pretty heavily into the overall plot. And it has this very heavy is the head that bears the crown sort of thing going on that's consistent with his character, and I highly recommend it.
Cool. Black Panther. Great. Yeah. Kelly, any last recommendations?
I would like to point out that Jason Reynolds wrote a Miles Morales Spider-Man book. Yes. I think that is actually one of the ones, the only one of his that I have not read, though I do have it on my Kindle. Mm-hmm. And Nick Stone, who I talked about a couple weeks ago, did a Black Panther middle grade novel that came out a couple weeks ago on Black Panther's sister.
Yeah. I don't have a graphic novel to recommend, but I do want to put in a plug for all of Samantha Irby's books. She is an essayist and a humor writer, and her book, We Are Never Meeting in Real Life, is her first collection of essays, which is so funny. And the reason I love it so much is her first essay is basically she fills out an application to be the next Bachelorette or to be on The Bachelor. It's just these ridiculous answers. And she's like, I'm 35, but I could pass for 60. but she's got all these great essays, and they're so funny, but also pretty dark in places. And she really goes into her childhood and mental health, and just like she doesn't hold back. She's just very open, and it's so, so good. So literally any of Samantha Irby's books, pick them up and you will not regret it. Okay, well,
Roxane Gay, while we're talking about books, is Roxane Gay, is, I'm pretty sure, possibly literally God.
She might be. Okay, well, this was so, so much fun. We will definitely have to do this again. But in the meantime, Violet, can you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media?
Okay, you can find my stand-up on YouTube. I did Night Train with Wyatt Sadak on the Stars channel and put that up. Just look for the thumbnail where my makeup is really good. If you find other stand-up where it's not as good, don't watch that. You're fine. And Violet Gray on Facebook, Violet Silver on Twitter, and Chaotic Violet on Instagram.
Awesome. And do you have a freestyle rap?
Oh yeah, I can. I can certainly give you a freestyle rap right now. Let's see. 1 second. This will be awesome. So, did you want to give me a topic, or did you want me to just
books?
Books?
I mean, clearly.
Oh wait, are you two book fans?
A little bit, just a bit.
Okay, here we go. Can you guys hear?
Yep.
Oh,
I just want to get some instrumental to go with it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, really, if you're going to do it, you might as well just go
on. The production value, I was not expecting.
You ready? Can you hear that?
Yes.
So ready.
Yes.
Okay. Here's a freestyle. I hope it's not awful. We're here talking about Black authors. And we all love books. You don't see my video because it's not a good look. And I'm feeling kind of stressed. I love books, but my hair is a mess. The authors that we mentioned, they are the best. And if you read it, you can put it to the test. And you know who is the GOAT. Earlier today, we mentioned Ta-Nehisi Coates. If you read his book, then you will see. I highly recommend Between the World and Me. And not to do a switch, but I'm serious. I will read Akata Witch. And that's all you get for now. Freestyle off the top. And how.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Oh my God.
Oh, that was amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Violet.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's amazing.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to follow us. We are at whatyoushouldread.com. And we're also on Goodreads, What You Should Read podcast. So you can find all the books we talked about in today's episode.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WYSR_podcast.
Correct. And we're also on YouTube, so you might find us there as well. And that's it for the episode. We want to thank Violet Gray for joining us today. We want to say we miss you, Rachel, and we hope to be all back together again next week. So thank you for listening, and go read some books. And now you know what you should read.
You're welcome.
I don't have to do it that time. All right.